Let us turn together this evening to the Old Testament, the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah and the chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42. I'd like to read a section of verses together, commencing at verse 1. Isaiah chapter 42 and the verse 1. And let us hear God's word together. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not feel, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Amen. We'll end there at verse 8. May the Lord add his own blessing to this public reading from his own precious and infallible word. I'd like to draw your attention this evening to the opening words of this chapter, and I take those opening words as the title of my message this evening. Behold my servant. Behold my servant. When we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, we think of him in many different ways. We would perhaps think of him as the Son, and of course he is set forth as the Son of God in the Scriptures, in Isaiah chapter 9 and the verse 6, for unto us a child is given, and unto us a son is born. And so the one born in Bethlehem's manger was none other than the Son of God. And we think of him, of course, as the Savior, and the announcement of the angel, for unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And so with the entrance of the Lord Jesus into this world, certainly we see him as the Son, and we see him as the Savior, and he is set forth as well as the Shepherd. He said himself, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And he's also the great shepherd, and he's the chief shepherd. And when you think of Calvary tonight, we can see the Savior as our substitute, and we can see him as our sacrifice, and we can think of him in all of these different ways. But how often do we think of him as the servant? And yet that's how the Lord Jesus Christ is set forth in this opening verse of Isaiah chapter 42. He is the servant. Now many in the Word of God are referred to as servants of the Lord. And there would be many examples. We could name just a few for the sake of time tonight. But Daniel, in Daniel chapter 6 and the verse 21, he's referred to as the servant of the living God. The servant of the living God. Joshua, as he approached the time of his death, in Joshua chapter 24 and the verse 29, he's called the servant of the Lord. Job, in chapter 1 and the verse 8, the Lord refers to him as my servant Job. Isaiah, and we're reading in Isaiah this evening, but in chapter 20 and the verse 3, again the Lord refers to the prophet, and he said, my servant Isaiah, my servant. There are many servants of the Lord. What a privilege it is to be of that designation, to be designated as a servant of the Lord. And Abraham was a servant of the Lord. Perhaps Moses, more than any other character in the Bible, is referred to as the servant of the Lord, and the psalmist David as well. And when it comes to this text of Scripture, the prophet is writing these words, behold, my servant. And so as there are many servants of the Lord, we need to establish the identity of this servant. And thank God tonight, we're not left to speculation. We know tonight who Isaiah was writing of. Because when we come across to the New Testament Scriptures and to the Gospel of Matthew and the chapter 12, we find that there in Matthew's Gospel, it relates back to Isaiah chapter 42, and it confirms to us that it's speaking to us of the Lord Jesus Christ when Isaiah records those words of Jehovah, behold my servant. Let me just read to you from Matthew chapter 12. And there in that passage in the verse 15, it says, but when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. And so it's recorded there in Matthew chapter 12, the direct quotation out of Isaiah chapter 42. And we are therefore left in no doubt that the servant that Isaiah is referring to is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Behold, my servant. There are some observations that I would like to make this evening when we think of the Lord Jesus as the servant. There are some considerations that would come to our minds. Firstly, the position of the servant. The position of the servant. That word servant is used in the Old Testament in a number of different ways, but it can be used to refer to the bond servant, the man servant. And so it's speaking about that lowly position. Even the thought of being a servant of servants. And so it's right then there with the most lowly of positions. A very humble position. Surely when we think of that tonight, it's showing us the humility and the condescension of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he who was the King of glory was willing to become that servant. And when Paul was writing to the Philippians and he was speaking there about the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ in Philippians chapter 2 and the verse 7. It says that he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. He took upon him the form of a servant. And so when we think of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world, we can think of him tonight as the servant. He's the servant of Jehovah. And he was willing there to humble himself and to take on that lowly position. The Lord Jesus Christ, who came from the very realms and splendor of heaven's glory, he was willing to set aside the glory which he had with the Father in eternity past, and he was willing to humble himself to come into this world and to take the place of a lowly servant. But when we think of that position, and it's a lowly position, we also learn in the Scriptures that it is a trusted position. Because there are those who would be given that trusted position within perhaps a household. You could think of Abraham's household. And within Abraham's household, there were many servants, but there was one particular servant. And he was made, if you like, the chief of the servants. And it tells us in Genesis 24 that he ruled over all that Abraham had. And so Abraham so trusted this chief servant that he gave everything over into his hands. And he was the one who was entrusted with this particular task and with this particular role. And when the Lord Jesus Christ humbled himself and took that position of being the lowly servant, we can see as well it was a trusted position. And the Savior himself could say, "All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth." And here we can see from Isaiah chapter 42 this evening that the speaker is Jehovah. And he's saying to us, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth." There's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and he's being given this trusted position to perform a particular work. He's the anointed of Jehovah. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ of God. That term servant, when you think of that position, servant, it's the lowly position, yet it's a trusted position, and it's also the word that's used to describe the servant of the royal household, the servant of the king. You would read in Genesis 40, in Genesis 41, about Pharaoh's servants. And so you can see something of the position that would develop in our minds when we think of the Savior being that servant. Yes, he humbled himself and took that lowly position, but yet he had that work entrusted to him, the work that he had to accomplish as the servant of Jehovah. And of course, he is that royal servant, appointed for a particular task and one who had to accomplish that task. And the Savior, of course, fulfilled that prophecy, and he fulfilled that position in every sense of the word. And so there's the position of the servant. But I want you to think as well about the purpose of the servant. As we've indicated, the role of the servant was that they were called and appointed and they were given that particular and that specific work to do. And the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he became the servant of Jehovah and he humbled himself to that position, the task and the mission that he had before him was to become the Savior of sinners. That was his work. That was his purpose. That was his mission as the servant. And when he came to his great high priestly prayer in John 17, and what a prayer that is, he was able to pray to the Father and say, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work. I have finished the work thou gavest me to do. That specific work, accomplishing our salvation, that was the work that the Savior must do. And when he came into this world, he was always about his Father's business, the business that the Father had given him to accomplish and to finish in this world. The Savior said, I must work. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. For the night cometh when no man can work. And the Savior, therefore, as the servant, he had that particular purpose and he had that work to do. If you were to go on through the prophecy of Isaiah, you would find that this theme continues, whereby the Lord Jesus Christ is set forth as the servant. We see it here, of course, in Isaiah 42, where the servant of Jehovah is introduced to us. But if you turn over a few pages in your Bible to chapter 49, and we have another of those servant sections in the book of Isaiah. In chapter 49 and the verse 1, you have there the message of the servant that's going forth into all the earth. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me. And you look at verse 3, and said unto me, thou art my servant. There's those words again, my servant. Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. And you could glance down as well to the 6th verse of this chapter, and he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. And you would have to see in those verses, there is there again the picture of the servant and the servant going forth to accomplish that particular work. And part of that work was to bring salvation and to be that light to the Gentiles. In Isaiah chapter 50. And there's a whole section here that we could say is another servant section in the prophecy of Isaiah. But just for the sake of time, look to verse 6. He says, I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. And you would have to see from that particular section in Isaiah chapter 50, it's speaking again of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's bringing us to Calvary. And there we see the suffering servant of Jehovah. You come into chapter 52 of Isaiah, and you come towards the end of that chapter to the verse 13. You see the words there again. Behold, my servant. And it says here, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. But as you would go through there As you would go through into Isaiah chapter 53, you would be brought again to see the suffering of the servant, and yet he would go through all of that agony and all of that pain and all of the torment, and then he would know that triumph and he would be exalted. That was his mission. That was his purpose. And he accomplished it all. He went right through that death upon the accursed tree. He was able to rise triumphantly from the grave. He was able to ascend into heaven. He ever liveth in the power of an endless life. No wonder when we go back to that text in Isaiah 42 and the verse 1, that Jehovah is able to say, "In whom my soul delighteth." Jehovah is delighting in all that his servant has accomplished. The servant has made satisfaction. And we can see here the very Trinity in that text of Scripture. If you think of the Father as being the one who is the speaker, saying, "Behold, my servant." And the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one who takes the place of the servant. Verse 1 goes on to say, "I have put my Spirit upon him." There you have the Father, you have the Son, and you have the Holy Spirit. And the task of the servant there was to complete the work, to accomplish that work. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did through his atoning death upon Calvary's tree. And so when we think of him coming into the world, and we think of it perhaps most especially at this time of the year, we think of that position that he took up as becoming the servant. And we think of the purpose, the work that he would accomplish as the servant of Jehovah. But thirdly, I want you to see the pattern of the servant, because surely the Lord Jesus Christ becomes that perfect servant. He's that ideal servant. He becomes that pattern and that example to us in service. And as we have already mentioned, there are some characteristics that stand out in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you were to look at our Bible reading and to that second verse, surely we can see here his humility in service. "He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street." And if you were to go through the Gospels, and you would find even in the miracles of the Lord Jesus that he performed when he was upon this earth, there were many occasions when he asked for it not to be told, when he asked for it not to be spread abroad. No, he was one who was humble. He would not lift up his voice. In fact, when we were showing the fulfillment of the prophecy in Matthew chapter 12, that's exactly why it says that the prophet Isaiah would be fulfilled. He charged them that they should not make him known. There you can see the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ and the selfless work that he would do. Humility is seen in John 13. You remember when they came in from the dusty streets, and it would have been the practice to wash the feet of the guests within the home. And there was the basin and the towel, but everyone sat back. It was the Lord himself who stepped forth and who girded himself with the towel and began to wash the disciples' feet. There's the characteristic of the true servant, one who is willing to take that humble position, one who is willing to do that work to the glory of God. We should seek to follow the pattern, to serve God acceptably, with reverence, and with godly fear. And so in the pattern of the servant, we see humility, but we also see compassion. In our Bible reading in the third verse, it says, "Of this servant a bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth." The bruised reed. The reed was something that was very weak and very fragile, and something that would be easily bruised. Now, the reed was not worth very much to begin with, but once it was bruised, it would really be counted as worthless and useless. just to be broken up and to be thrown aside. But such is the tender compassion of the servant of Jehovah. It says, the bruised reed shall he not break. And you know, we're just like the bruised reed at times. We feel we're bruised and battered as we go through this old world. Sometimes we're bruised and battered by sin and by Satan. There are many trials, many difficulties that come across our earthly pathway that we could say we feel like the bruised reed. Well, our Savior is the gentle, tender, compassionate Savior. And the bruised reed shall he not break. The smoking flax, there's no fire, as it were. It's just smoking, just smoldering. It's almost going to be extinguished. It's almost going to go out. But the smoking flax he'll not quench. He'll not let it go out. There's times that we perhaps feel we're at burnout stage. We're almost ready to extinguish. Thank God we have a compassionate, tender Savior. The one who is the servant of Jehovah. He's the merciful Lord. Then we can see in the pattern of the servant his perseverance, because he would continue on, as we've noted, to complete the work. And verse 4 of our Bible reading says, he shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. He'll not fail. He'll not be discouraged. He'll not be distracted. He will set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. He'll persevere. And he'll be obedient. As we noted in Philippians chapter 2, he took upon him the form of a servant. And as you read on there, it speaks of his obedience. That he was obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. Whenever the Savior was upon this earth, it tells us in John chapter 6 and in the verse 38 that he said, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. That's the pattern of the true servant. Not to do our own will, but to do the will of him that sent us. And the greatest test of the Lord's obedience was the cross. And Paul says he was obedient unto death. He went the whole way to Calvary. And he finished the work that the Father had given him to do. And he purchased our salvation, with the price being his own precious blood. Every drop of his blood was poured out for us. And so we thank God tonight. We thank God for the servant of Jehovah. Behold my servant. And may the Lord bless these thoughts to each of our hearts here this evening.